This is usually a verse which is chanted before the recitation of the Bhagavatam. But today we will read from the Brihat Bhagavatamrita. Srila Prabhupada wrote about this book that anyone, here's a quotation, anyone who wants to know about the subject matter of devotees, devotional service, and Krishna, must read this book. Today we will have a very important lecture, and a very brief lecture also. It will require our full transcendental cooperation and concentration. I was reflecting about this Japa retreat and how we will go from here and will offer some suggestions today. But before we hear the suggestions, we will hear a little bit, or we will hear one verse with Srila Sanatan Goswami's purport about chanting the holy name in the right mood. Since we have a very brief lecture this morning, I will only read the Sanskrit to you and then directly the translation. Nam nam tu sankirtanam atibaram megam vina pravrishi chatakanam ratro viyogat svapate ratangi varagasya chakroshanavat pratihi. Like the crying of the chataka birds on a cloudless day of the rainy season, or the lamenting of a flock of chakravaki birds when parted from their husbands at night, the sankirtan of the Lord's names arises when one is burdened by too much pain. A very interesting shloka. Let us hear now the commentary. What does it say? It gives two examples of beings who call out in lamentation and in apparently pain for either the cloud or their partners. And it says that the holy names chanted in Sankirtan arise when one is also in that same mood, when one is burdened by too much pain. What is this? We went to Krishna consciousness to enjoy. What is this with pain? Let us now hear the commentary. Nam Sankirtan, in fact, appears only when prema, that is love, has been enhanced in a special way. Prema enriched with transcendental hankering results in Sankirtana. To help us understand the Vaikuntha Dutas mention by way of analogy the Chataka and Chakravaki birds. The plaintive call. Plaintive. What is a synonym for plaintive, please? Yes. Who said so? An English-speaking person? Good. Desperate. How do we say desperate in Croatian? The plaintive call of the Chatakas, sounding like Priya, Priya, my dear one, resounds on cloudless days of the rainy season. And the lament of the Chakravakis fills the sky when their husbands are absent at night. These are Chakravakis, are birds which seem to be biologically cursed. Of course, the Vedas will also have a story which I really don't know why this is so, but they are in the night and they really want to be together with their husbands in the night, but somehow they are always separated in the night and they cry the whole night for their husbands. In such a way, Nam Sankirtan arises when one feels separation from the Lord in pure love of God. The true way of doing Bhagavan Nama Sankirtan is to call out to one's beloved Lord in agony, expressing one's feelings in various sweet songs to attract him. As the philosophical maxim states, maxim is like a motto, Siddhasya lakshanam yatsyat sadhanam sadakasyatat. Finally I found the Sanskrit for this. The practitioner and the means of practice should be in accord with their goal. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pansaya Bhutale Srivate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Daive Govani Vinaya Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Nivasadi Go Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare The Hare Krishna movement is quickly and rightfully so becoming a congregational movement, a movement which is mainly composed of devotees who don't live in ashrams as they used to do when the movement was founded. No, it is becoming a movement which mostly lives outside ashrams, where devotees of the Lord pursue their spiritual practices, but also their human interests. This has advantages. It says, if from history we learn, if movements always start in a highly concentrated form, in a almost a monk-like community. But if they wish to take roots in society, they do need to be congregation-oriented, simply for the fact that most of the people are not monks. It's not, it may be a good training period for them, a good time for them to spend very concentrated in devotional service, but most of the modern people, or most of the people always have been people inclined to family life, to raising children, pursuing various interests along with their spiritual life or religious life. Now this has advantages, and the advantages is that only if this step is maturely done, can a movement spread and take roots. It has also, like everything in this dual world, disadvantages. A disadvantage would be that one loses focus and concentration. Now, retreats are always offered to regain focus and to regain concentration. This is the purpose of retreats. So up till now, we have done our retreat in a way which accommodates very much the congregational mood. We have on one day given you a little taste of the focus, and you have done wonderfully on that day. I know it was for several of you a hard endeavor, but you have earned your bread, so to say. You have done. Today, we will visit a monastery. Yesterday, when Govindanandan explained to us about the travel, I felt very, very nervous. And as he began speaking, my nervousness increased. His announcements was very, very nice, but I really fear that you will take this journey as a Croatian, Oxford or German tourist takes an interesting journey. This is not at all the intention. The intention is to kidnap you, to take you out of your normal life and see a place of spiritual focus. We will see a monastery which was established by monks who solely and only had this one purpose in life, to attain God realization. They had this in mind when there was a very difficult period for their spiritual lives. Turkish people, the Muslims, were invading all this area. I think they came up to Spain, if I'm historian, but I mostly slept in my school, so my informations are not all 100% correct. And the Christians, the monks, had to really hide from them or give up their spiritual practices because they were just so intolerant and would kill monks of other belief system. But so this group of monks who founded this monastery did not want to compromise their spiritual practices, but fled from them in the most lonely place they could think of, in the most protected area they could think of, that is this mountainous area. And I want to bring you there, not for sightseeing or for having an easy day. I want to bring you there so that you can meditate about focus in your own life, concentration in your own life, single-mindedness in your own life, a mood of intense yearning and longing in your own life. I have talked about this, but I know my words can't reach hearts which are not who have difficulties. Spiritual subjects is not taught by words alone. In ancient times, the gurus would take their students out for journeys, long pilgrimage journeys, which were sometimes very difficult. Tigers would attack Madhva Charya and his parties, travel parties. They would climb mountains to reach high destinations in Bararikashrama. Today, I will take all of you on such a journey. It will be, I request you to be very serious in the journey. We will have the holy name as our guiding force. The ship, we will think it's Lord Chaitanya's boat. I will read to you a song which I have not yet found, but which I hope to find in my, I mean, everything is in my songbook. It's just a question of finding it. It's a song which says, my Lord Gauranga has a gut where he has a boat. This boat brings us over the ocean of samsara. The spiritual master is there. I mean, we all have Prabhupada as our spiritual guide. And the rowing of that boat, yes, there's rowing. It is the chanting of the holy names. And who will not enter into this boat of my Lord Gauranga, which brings us over the ocean of birth and death? I'm trying my best to just bring in you a mood of concentration and focus today. And I know it will do very, very good for your Krishna consciousness if you enter the day with this meditation and orientation. We will also need it because tomorrow and the day after tomorrow, we will change a little bit the outfit of the retreat. Up till now, we wanted to accommodate all of you so that you settle in. After all, we have all a busy life, and we wanted to settle in and come and see, experience everything. But tomorrow, tomorrow I feel it's very important that we again focus on the idea of retreat, complete absorption and concentration, so that you will take with you an experience which you cannot have when you are at home in Zagreb or Oxford or wherever you ordinarily reside. Tomorrow we will all try to focus ourselves. We will use the temple room for chanting together our japa. We will chant more rounds. I will not give tell tomorrow how many rounds we should chant, because every one of us is grown up and mature in their lives. That is very wonderful, what I appreciate about this group. You can all determine this for yourself. We will spend a maximum amount of time together for chanting. There will be a few inspirations, but not an hour-long workshop. I have more or less told you in the workshop's tools. I hope you have listened attentively and have now a whole toolkit with you, so that you can take them and improve your japa. Please, today you will have time to watch your notes again, to go through your notes, to go through the everything what you have heard new. And tomorrow, then we will apply our knowledge by chanting together. See, I talked yesterday with one devotee from who was there in the first two retreats in the Alpine mountains in Switzerland. I want to describe to you a little bit the the retreat. The retreat was born from a question, what in our tradition do we have to effect a profound change of heart? And the answer to this question, based on the wonderful teachings of the Vedic scriptures and the tradition, was we have the holy name. So then the organizers of the retreat decided, let us do something with the holy name, which we cannot do in our ordinary lives. We are so busy in our temple duties. There were students there who were studying. We are so busy with our studies, with our work. One person was a doctor. One person came from America, from the University of something. And we don't have this focus because we have to take care of many, many other things. So, okay, what will we do? We will look for a lonely hut in the mountains. And then the devotees went out and they found a place called Hari Chale. Chale is a French word. I don't speak it properly. Chale means house. Hari's house. So we found Hari's house. The devotees found me. We found a hut at the end of the world. It was hut is not the right word. Hut means for two people. This was a place for up to 30 people. The name is Hari Chale, do you want to see it? And I said, no, it's all right. It's Hari Chale, it's Hari's house. What more proof do we need? I trust you when you say that all the material amenities are there and it is remote and so on. So yes, we went into Hari's Chale and we had an experience which was a very, very deep experience, so deep that the devotees said we should have it again after 1 year. So they wanted to have it after half a year, but I said, because I have so many other commitments, I'm only free after a year. And then we rented the place again and made again such a retreat. And it was again the same type of experience, a very deep and moving experience. For some, it was a little bit austere because of focusing, and they were not used to this. But see, you can only gain something new in your life if you come out of what you are used to. You can never get something new which you are not already getting if you stay in the same style in which you live your life. If you want to get anything new, you must go into you must apply the principle of tapasya, some voluntary austerity to reach a new destination. Yeah, so retreats are traditionally taken on to achieve just that end. It's meant for this purpose. It's a unique facility which over the centuries of thousands of years are adopted. People have left their places in society and gone to retreats. Also our Ayurvedic science, the Ayurvedic science of psychology says, every half a year, a human being who wants to improve his life needs to go into a house in a house and perform a retreat. What is a house in a house? Well, these are two clay huts in one. There's first the one clay hut, which has windows facing the eastern and western direction, and inside of it, you know, with a little, maybe let us say 1 meter distance, is another clay hut, but this clay hut has windows not facing in the eastern and western direction. It has windows facing in the northern and southern directions. And then you live there, and you have to fast or eat fruits, only fruits, and all you can take with you is beads and shastra, nothing more. Of course, I guess toilet articles also, I mean, to take baths and all. But that's all, and fruits. And then you do this for, I heard, up to a week. And when you come out, you found new inspirations, you found new strengths to change things which should be changed in your life. When you come out, you have many, many gifts in your hand, which you didn't have before. You were together with God, you had a divine experience, you had revelations about your life, and now you go in a new direction. This is one model of retreat. It's done in Ayurvedic in Vedic times, it's done for mental sanity, because don't forget, we are not on safe grounds as long as we are under the influence of Rajas and Tamas in our lives. We need spiritual refreshment and spiritual visions very much. So I really hope that I can reach my Croatian and Bosnian audience who are comfort lovers in spiritual life with these messages. And my dear devotees, this little austerity of coming together and focusing a day on chanting Hare Krishna, it's not difficult. If it is difficult for you, then it shows that your spiritual muscles need to be strengthened a little bit. Of course, for someone who's very weak, if he wishes to make 10 push-ups, he is almost dead. But if I would ask Dario, the restless, 10 push-ups is not difficult for you, isn't it? Because he has built his strengths for good purposes, I hope. It's therefore not at all difficult. He's trained. So to chant extra rounds to spend more time with Krishna, it's we need to do this in our life. How will you go back to Godhead if you don't train your muscles a little bit for this spiritual activity? Yesterday I have observed you very carefully and throughout the days, and I believe that all of you have come to the retreat because you want this. But the way we have arranged yesterday's day was, we did not give firm prescriptions for you, and we saw that many of you were taking time to relax like you ordinarily do. It's our human nature to be lazy in spiritual matters. That is a human nature, but we do need to cure this. It's what we have done lifetimes after lifetimes. It will not bring us somewhere. Also, I have seen yesterday, some of you go in your own ways, in your own journeys, in your own things. you need to do that. You need to be independently. But that you can do the rest of your the year. What you can do here is to come together in a room of like-minded devotees, to chant with a lot of focus. I gave you many, many practices which work very well if one applies them. Those of you who were attentive, they know what these practices are. Those who were not attentive, they will know for next time to be more attentive so that you take the helps which are given to you. In this way, I want to suggest that, we only have today, tomorrow, and Saturday. We only have 2.5 days. Now we should really make all out of the days which can be done. It was very important for me to let you go in your own way and let you have your own space for the beginning of the retreat, except for the 64 rounds day. That was very important for me to give you this experience. And now I just fall in a very humble obeisances to your feet. I'm very serious about this. I really want to now address the spiritual searcher in you, that person who separated from society, who left everything behind just to experience a genuine spiritual experience. I want to address that person because this person is starving in these modern times. As our movement turns more and more into a congregational movement, it does what is natural and what is necessary for a movement to survive. But if we are not careful as individuals and we do not take responsibility for our own spiritual development, not obtain what we wanted to obtain at the beginning of our spiritual journey. And we will not feel that deep fulfillment of the soul which is necessary in order to say no to Maya. It is necessary. In our philosophy we say detachment is only possible with attachment. Detachment from Maya is only possible if you have attachment to Krishna. Otherwise, detachment is stragosti. But if you have attachment for Krishna, detachment is the most natural thing, and you would not call it detachment any longer. You would say living a happy life to it. living a happy life. That is possible when you are attached to Krishna. Then you say, oh, no, really, movies, are you crazy? I put all these bad sankskaras in my mind no, really, it's not the right thing to do in the human form of life. Or you will say, oh, to eat unoffered are you serious? You mean to say that this is enjoyment to take something which is not offered in love and devotion to Krishna? I can't understand you, Prabhu. You would say like this if you are attached to Krishna and have a deep spiritual taste. But for this we need to work now a little bit. Like our acharyas have told us, so lovingly, that the tongue of someone who's coated by the avidya disease, the jaundice of avidya, will find the holy name bitter and difficult to take. What is the cure? If one has jaundice, one will take more and more of the sweet. Although it is difficult, one will take more and more, and then after some time it tastes sweet. You will experience this partly today. Today we will I intend to stop now and read again the verse and one verse which is connected with it. Then we will chant together in this room, if possible, up to 8:30. We will have a 20 minutes concentrated japa. Then we will journey in happy kirtan to this monastery. I must tell you, it's a risk for me as a seminar giver to go on this journey, because I don't know what expects us. But I believe that when the group is serious in their spiritual quest, we will make a wonderful Krishna conscious experience together. It is also meant to give us a little relief. Yes, that journey, if we will go on a boat and we will see the beautiful Adriatic coast, it will be wonderful. You will tell all your neighbors about it. And we will also talk and laugh and so on. It will be a day where we can relax our mind a little bit so that we get strength for tomorrow and the day after tomorrow. We did this also in Switzerland. We had a wonderful day where we made a walk into the mountains, and then we had a yoga teacher who taught us a practice how to liberate the joints. You know, because when you sit so long, your body is so, how to liberate this. If you want, we can also have a yoga session so that your bodies are become extremely strong for tomorrow's practice day. We could do. Then you don't need chairs any longer. It's amazing what you can do with these ancient tools. You might still need, it takes longer to stretch the muscles which have become atrophied. That cannot be done in one year session. So here it is again, the mood. It's a mood of sincerity. Like the crying of the Chataka birds on a cloudless day of the rainy season, or the lamenting of a flock of Chakravaki birds when parted from their husbands at night. The Sankirtan of the Lord's names arises when one is burdened by too much pain. This pain is just the feeling of, my Lord, I'm separated from you. I'm really separated. This cannot go on. My life is a burden without your presence. So then, here's another verse. It talks about the mercy which is invoked by this mood, that the Lord becomes so merciful. Here's someone crying for me. Oh, Krishna! No, Krishna doesn't say Krishna to himself. He says, hey, Radhe, I will go there. By the force of the vast mercy of the Lord, or by the natural influence of devotional service, one can see him. So this is the mood of which we will try to enter now. We can't order the Lord to show us mercy. We can't try what we want. The mercy is totally up to the Lord. So therefore, Sanatana Goswami says, by the force of the vast mercy of the Lord, or by the natural influence of devotional service, one can see him. Prabho kripa pura bhalena. Bhalena means bhalena bhakti, by the strength of the bhakti processes. Prabhavatova kaludashanam syat. This is a very important thing. So we will, I'm preparing you with this brief lecture for tomorrow. And with this excursion, we are also preparing ourselves for tomorrow. And please make up already your mind today. That's what you do when you go in an increased spiritual practice. If you think about these things tomorrow, it's already too late. You have to think about it today. The word I would like to introduce, because it's nice to have just one word, is focus. No, that please on today, for today, think about this word in your own life, focus. And then when you have thought about it and prepared yourself, then tomorrow you will make again wonderful deep experiences in your Krishna consciousness. So we will enter very gently today into this word. We will visit a place of focus, and there we will chant together. I have seen in Prabhupada Desh, that's a temple which we have in Italy, which was a monastery, that it's very nice atmosphere for spiritual practice, because it's a place of focus. We can learn that from the other traditions. Today is just a preparatory day. So please let us chant for up till 8:30 together. I suggest we all face the altar again. And then at 8:30, you quickly please take your prasadam, because at 10 o'clock, the ferry, no, 10 to 10, the ferry of Lord Gauranga comes.